に存在してる意味を知りたくない。バッバッビリーハウン、バッバッバリーハウン、今を取り巻く全てのコント、各からのメッセージ、バッバッビリーハウン、バッバッバリーハウン、そこに隠れてても何も始まんない、閉ざされてたドアをその足で壊せ。目に見える不安を数えて止まらないで、夢のルール破ってく、目に見えないつながり信じて動き出そう。 You got the chain, breaking the chain, 飛ばしてけ明日へ。 Call me a brave, what is your stage, go。
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the Rockin' Wrestling Podcast. Today is November 19th, 2014. Sitting here high above Chicago, Illinois. And conspicuous with his absence is our good buddy, Big Nigger Jim, who is not here today. His contract is up for grabs. So joining me in the hot seat to my left is an old friend of mine who loves to talk about wrestling, and this week we're going to talk about something other than wrestling, something we both love, the great Kamen Rider. And I know Derek might be listening, so he's going to be happy about that. And a good friend of mine all the way from Peoria, Illinois, flew out to Chicago just to do this show, my buddy Jericho. What's going on?
What's happening, guys?
So let the world that listens to this show, because we have listeners all around the world, know exactly who you are and what you stand for.
So, as I was introduced amazingly, my name is Jericho. I'm originally from Cleveland, Ohio, and in that nature.
Shout out to Drew Carey. I've been watching that shit nonstop.
Dude, that show's hilarious.
Yeah.
Have a little funny story about that, but that'll be a little later.
All right, we'll get to that.
Want to point out, Mike the Miz, not from Cleveland.
Well, where's he from?
He is from Parma, Ohio, and that is a suburb. That is like
moon over Parma.
Right. That's like if you live in Schaumburg and you're like, I live in Chicago. No, you don't. You live in Schaumburg. Don't even talk. But
yeah, Dolph but Ziggler, for the real world, like no, suburbs kind of count. Like
I understand, but Dolph Ziggler lived on the west side of Ohio, West 47th. I know exactly where he lived. I know what school he went to. I seen him play football. Dude was cool. He was legit awesome. So, yeah, like I said, every time I hear Miz come out and he's like, he's from Cleveland, Ohio, I'm like, no, you are not. I go to house shows and yell it at him. I don't care. Just had to throw that out there. So thank you very much for letting me let your listeners know how much that upsets me.
Just for the record, though, if I was from Parma, Ohio, I would rep that shit. That's a cool-sounding place.
Yeah, I mean, it's not the biggest city in the world, but, I mean, you do have a basis on the Drew Carey show because that was in the song. People know that that's a city, so.
Right.
But, you know, whatever. Been watching wrestling, let's see, for about 22 years. Some of the first memories were Brother Love hosting his show. You know, it was crazy times. Undertaker on there was just the craziest thing I ever. Like, how is there an Undertaker on a Brotherly Love show? But whatever. Brought up through the Attitude Era.
Brotherly Love, starring Kirk Cameron.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But no, finished up, you know, went through the Attitude Era. Kind of phased out a little bit during the Brock Lesnar era because, you know, going through teenagehood and stuff like that. But came back once John Cena got big again. Or got big and started doing his own thing.
See, that's kind of funny. I started watching wrestling when I was a lot older. I was about 10, so I started watching around 98. And I loved the Brock Lesnar era. Like, that 2002, 2003 period, that was my shit.
Right, right, yeah.
But when I stopped, I did my hiatus in, like, 2006 after Eddie died. And they were doing all the shit where Randy was saying that Eddie's in hell. I just couldn't watch for a while. So I was like hardcore into the indies at that time because the indies were like firing all cylinders. And I would go from Kansas City to Chicago for Ring of Honor shows. I was at the last punk show. I saw like Cabana versus Bryan Danielson. That shit was just awesome. So that was wrestling for me in 2006. So.
See, I was going to say, that sounds a lot better. I kept with WWE in 2006. I was on the Rey Mysterio train of this little midget Mexican's going to make it, and I'm going to love him for it. And I seriously do love Rey Mysterio, and he will deserve his place in the Hall of Fame. I just feel bad because they overworked him way too hard.
You know, one of the first wrestling matches I saw that made me a wrestling fan was like Rey Mysterio versus La Parca on WCW Worldwide, because I didn't have cable as a kid, and like that was the only wrestling I got was Worldwide on Saturday afternoons, and at Saturday night at like 11 it was Shotgun Saturday night, so that was like the only wrestling I can watch, and that's how I got into it. So it's just recap shows and jobber matches.
That's why all those recap shows existed for every medium at the time, and now all the stuff's the same. So I really sometimes the recaps just kind of get on my nerves. I'm like watching Raw for 3 hours, and 2 hours into it, I have to find out what happened the first 15 minutes. It's like, yep, I was watching. I promise.
Yeah.
Just because I got a DVR.
But it's funny because that being the way I was introduced into wrestling, like my favorite wrestlers at the time were like Mysterio, Kidman, the Hardys, and like D'Lo.
Yeah, D'Lo was amazing.
Yeah,
I felt so bad for him when that happened with draws, because I really feel like if that hadn't happened, he would have been a world heavyweight champion.
I didn't know that had happened until like 6 years later.
Yeah,
TV because it happened on SmackDown. They referenced it on Raw, but I didn't have cable, so I didn't hear about it. It was just all of a sudden no more draws, and I had no idea what happened.
Yeah, it was kind of weird because I had heard about it, and it was just like, you know, no more draws, and D'Lo got, you know, I think he lost the title like a week later, like in some weird fashion. It was real quick, and then all of a sudden it was like, okay, D'Lo's gone, what's up with that? And it started like slowly trickling down before the internet, like, you know, draws got hurt real bad and he's in a wheelchair now. It's like, oh, wow. Okay. So yeah, the t-shirt thing and all that, I didn't hear about until later when the internet was a bigger thing, so...
The t-shirt thing. What's the t-shirt thing?
Well, apparently the reason why it happened was because D'Lo was wearing a baggy t-shirt and Draws got caught coming down from a powerbomb.
That's weird. I didn't hear that.
Like, well, and, you know, this was like a couple of years ago. So once again, it could be one of those like hearsay things, but it makes sense because if you're wearing a long shirt and you're trying to get thrown down and you get pulled backwards, like towards the person from the shirt perspective, mm-hmm. it might, you know, make it to where you're leaning more on your neck and head than your shoulders and back.
See, I never remember D'Lo ever wrestling in a t-shirt.
Well, and yeah, that was my thing.
Especially in 99. He always wore the Canadian singlet.
I just called it the Superman chest armor.
He wasn't even wearing that at the time. He stopped wearing that when he turned babyface.
Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah. I do miss that chest armor though.
That shit was awesome. You remember how he got it?
I think he got injured, like it was a muscle strain, and he had to protect his chest while he was wrestling, and he just decided to keep wearing it.
It was the King of the Ring qualifier with Dan Severin.
Oh God.
Yeah.
I remember his hair. It was terrible. It was 90s-tastic. But Dan Severin, if you happen to listen to this, please don't hunt me down, because he could probably still kill me.
I can't think of his hair because I can only picture his mustache.
He had a mustache.
He had a manly mustache.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
But no, unfortunately, I didn't get into a lot of the indie stuff until later on, like recently, last couple of years, because it's one of those things like there – you know, I grew up and I want more wrestling now, and there isn't any. You know, we have WWE and then TNA, and now we got Lucha Underground, which is actually fantastic. I don't know if
I love Lucha Underground. Dude, anything with wrestling on it, I'm going to watch it. When I was in college, we had like Bootleg Satellite, and we got Galavision, and Triple H used to come on there every Saturday afternoon for like 4 hours, and I would just sit there watching. I remember it was like, why are you watching wrestling in Spanish? Do you speak Spanish? I'm like, no, it's wrestling. It's universal language.
Exactly.
So I'm going to watch it.
No, and I agree with that, and that's one of the reasons I've got turned on to a lot of the NJPW stuff. Like, I watched the G1 Climax tournament from this past year, and holy crap, that whole thing was amazing.
Yeah. I love New Japan. I've never watched a whole G1. Or a whole Super Juniors, as much as I would like to try it to. Those shows are long.
Well, yeah, I'm going to be honest. I didn't watch the entirety of the thing. I just watched matches that were like, okay, I like this wrestler.
Yeah.
And anytime I see anything with like the Time Splitters or anything like that,
love the Time Splitters. Love
them. Yeah.
Did you watch Wrestle Kingdom last year?
No, I didn't. Like, I didn't get a chance to see that one. Okay. So
I did watch most of it. I had to watch like the juniors matches, like the junior tag team title.
Right.
Once it got to like the Gracies, versus I think like Shibata and whoever Shibata's partner is. I was like, I don't need to see this fake MMA match. So I was just, I'm okay. But before we start talking about wrestling, we have to talk about Kamen Rider because we both love Kamen Rider. And I know about one other person, two other people, because I met someone recently that likes Kamen Rider, in this world that I can talk about Kamen Rider with forever. When did you start watching Tokusatsu?
Oh, man. Let's see. It's 2014.
Yep.
Decade came out in 2008, I think.
Yeah, I think it came out 2008.
So 2009, because I remember I watched one episode of, it was the first episode of W.
Right.
Then I watched everything that was out, which was like up to episode 7. And then I was like, okay, so what do I watch after this? Oh, what's this decade thing? Oh, okay, so this is a perfect introduction for this.
You know, that's so weird, because I kind of started at almost the exact same time. Because I remember when W first came out, and that's kind of like when it really exploded on the internet. Like, a lot of people were watching Kamen Rider around that time. And I had a hacked PSP, so I was downloading all these games. And on the site where I downloaded the games from, somebody was uploading Kamen Rider, and my friend Derek, he watched Kiva, and he showed me the first episode of Kiva. And so I didn't watch all of it, he watched all of it, and I was like, we gotta start watching Kamen Rider now because it's getting really hot. So we watched all of Decade, then I watched all of Fives, and then I started watching Double.
Very nice.
Yeah.
So I'm very much, I haven't watched anything before Decade. I tried watching Foz, and I tried watching Kabuto, and it's one of those things that's like, it's very slow.
Yeah.
You can tell that it's very like 2000s drama, like, oh my God, he's a Kamen Rider, how dare you? It's like, no, I'm not for that. Now it's all happy-go-lucky run around, and I've got superpowers.
I mean, every Kamen Rider show, though, always starts out really slow, except Decade, because Decade was only like 30 episodes, so they have to like hit it. And get to all these worlds. That's why Decade was so easy to digest.
I feel like Gaim, which was last season's, for the people who are listening that don't know much about Kamen Rider.
Right.
Gaim really took off very quickly because they had like 7 riders in the first 8 episodes.
Right.
And it was the first season since, I'd say, probably Hibiki that had multiple riders quickly.
Okay.
You know, because Hibiki, I think, had 2 to 3 in the first 20 episodes. But yeah, in Gaim, it was like, in the first 10 episodes, we've introduced 6 different riders.
See, I only got to like episode 3 of Gaim, and my friends tell me Gaim is one of the best, and everybody's saying it's one of the best, but...
You need to... I will be 100% honest. Get past the dancing. It disappears around episode 12. It makes its a resurgence around episode 18 for a whole episode, and then it gets talked about, and then you'll see a little bit of it at the end, and that is it. Because they very much push that, but it has nothing to do with dancing once they get past it.
Yeah.
So
the dancing is definitely the hardest thing to get through.
That song will get stuck in your head, though. Because they use the same exact dance song every time the teams are dancing. It's kind of terrible.
Did you ever watch Shibuya 15?
No, I have no idea what that is.
It's like a 6-episode J-drama that was written by somebody that wrote Fives and Kiva wrote this. So there's a lot of people from Kamen Rider in it. And so, like, the chick from Fives, and she was in Kiva also. And one of the guys from Kabuto's in it, and a bunch of other random people. And there's like, it's like a show about gangs. Have you ever played the game The World Ends With You? Because it's based off of that.
Yeah, it's a great game.
Yeah, it's based off of that. So there's like all these gangs in the city, and there's like a breakdancing gang. And so that's all I can think of every time I watch Gaim. And they always dance the same music.
Yeah, no, it sounds like that. All I think about when it comes to dancing and End of the World is there's a Dance Dance Revolution apocalypse movie on Netflix.
Oh my God, why did you tell me that? Now I have to...
I literally watched the first 15 minutes of it, and it got to where they explain what happens, and I was just like, yeah, so I wouldn't do it. Like, that's just kind of the simple fact of it, because apparently what happens is when you take a wrong step, you get electrocuted. And
I'll be playing on beginner mode all the time.
Oh, no. They choose what you pick, and it's like, the great part is if you ever played the game, the music that they use is like, that's not even close to what the music is in the game. It's like this rock music, like, dun 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 dun, and it's like, no.
So they don't have Butterfly or Daddy's Dumb?
They don't have My Generation or Can't Stop Falling in Love, so. But no, I really do enjoy Kamen Rider. I haven't watched a lot of the Super Sentai.
Okay.
I watched all of Gokaiger, because that was amazing.
I didn't watch shit from Gokaiger except the movie.
Oh, no, it was...
The crossover movie.
That whole series was amazing.
I'm a Shikinja guy. I love Dekaranger. Dekaranger is probably one of the best I've ever seen.
I watched SPD.
Yeah.
So I enjoy SPD. I'll say that's the best Disney season.
That is the best Disney season.
Yes.
That's because they had In Space helmets painted differently.
Only one, and it was because he was orange. But and then I watched all of Koyuger, which is the new Dino Charge that's coming out. And oddly enough, that one's amazing. Like, it was really corny to start with, and it's very like childish. But it's great to watch.
That pisses me off that they're skipping Go Buster.
But you understand why they're skipping Go Buster.
I don't, because Go Buster's awesome.
But Go Buster is an extremely environmental message, and it's one of those, like, okay, we don't really want to try to pitch that to kids. Plus, there's only three Rangers throughout, and then they have this weird, like, oh, Rangers that look like you come from another dimension and stuff like that. So it'd be really hard to push off.
I didn't get that far in the show, I'm not going to lie.
Oh, yeah.
I got to where Gold and Silver show up, and the Silver Ranger cursed a lot, so that was awesome.
he was a robot, that's why.
Was he a robot?
Yeah, robots don't have any kind of filters. So. Yeah,
he just said shit really loud, and I was like, I love this person so much.
But no, the new series that's on, Drive, is amazing.
I just watched episode 4.
Like, so 1 through 4 or just 4?
I watched 1 through 4. I just finished 4 on the way home.
So, I'll be honest, other than the fact that he has, like, 75 forms already, but they're not forms, tiles.
It's just extra weapons.
Right, it's weapons. Yeah. Other than that, the series is great. I like that he's a detective.
I like his sword.
I love the sword.
Yeah.
I love the belt, because he's so smarmy.
Yeah.
He's just like, yeah, I'm giving you power. You'll shut up now.
He's no Kivat. I'll say that.
Yeah, I will say that. He's got big belt shoes to fill. I don't know. But I'm still enjoying him. So, and so far, like I said, it's been decent for having only been 6 episodes. It takes off a lot better than Gaim did, for sure.
Yeah.
But,
and they have a purple evil rider, so awesome.
Yeah, I'm buying that gun, I think.
Yeah.
Which, actually, you find out, but that's actually the proto-birth gun, too.
Wait, what? I missed that.
Or not proto-birth. So, there's, in the new movie, I have no idea what we're talking about. Every Kamen Rider has 3 movies. They have a handoff movie at the beginning of their... They have a movie that's just about them, and then they have an movie that hands to the next series.
You sound like a robot. What's going on with your internet?
It sucks. Is that better?
Yeah, that's better.
Okay.
So there's 3 movies. There's a handoff movie, and then what?
There's a middle movie that's just about them.
Okay.
And then there's a end movie that finishes up their story and hands off to the next rider.
Okay.
And so the first movie for Drive... One of the special gifts you get, because apparently in Japan, if you go to a movie, they give you gifts, which
of course.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet.
It made me want to go to movies more often.
It's like when I got that ancient Mew card from seeing Pokemon the movie 2000.
Exactly, or I got my Yu-Gi-Oh cards from watching Yu-Gi-Oh the movie. So, so the DVD that you get, it tells you about Proto Drive, which is the first version of the suit, and it uses the gun.
So it's the purple one.
Well, he's purple and black instead of red and black.
Nice. That's a much better color scheme anyway.
Yeah, I'm down for that. Yeah. I'm very much a fan of purple. So.
Yeah. Purple and black attack. Red heart style.
But yeah, so I'm very much enjoying it. They're going to debut the new rider here soon, and he uses motorcycles. So obviously that's cool.
So the purple one, the Grim Reaper guy, isn't the second rider? He's not a cop?
I don't think he's the second rider. I think he's just an evil rider.
Okay.
but they have a secondary rider belt that uses the motorcycles instead of the shift cars.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, but there's one of the series that I tell people if they really want to get into it, watch Decade, obviously. But that one is very overwhelming for people because it's like, oh my God, what is all this about?
I would definitely say watch Decade before you watch any other one because it's going to ruin, like, you're not going to enjoy it as much if you watch Kiva and see how awesome Kiva is and then watch Decade and see a little boy as Kiva.
Well, no, I agree with that. But yeah. So what I've been telling people, and I've gotten about two or three people hooked on a Kamen Rider this way,
right,
is that I'll either find out what they're into. You know, like I have a friend who's very much into detective stuff, so I had him watch Double, right, and he loved it. So now he's watching Drive. But watch Wizard, because a lot of people like magic. Mm-hmm. And Wizard is one of those, like, he does a lot of stuff, and it's a lot of humorous stuff, and it's a very basic series. Like, it's got the drama parts in it, it's got the kid parts in it, but it's a very basic, like, level series that you can introduce people into. And there's no hidden stuff. There's no, like, oh, here's a special rider coming in out of nowhere, or anything like that.
I thought there was. Wasn't there? Was the white rider? There was a white one, wasn't there?
Well, yeah, but, like, what I mean is, like, how in O's, Decade shows up at one point in one of the movies. Like, Wizard doesn't have anything random like that happening to him until the last movie.
Okay.
So you won't be confused as to why, like, why does this other rider have the ability to jump into other worlds or anything like that?
Well, you mean Fours, right, when Decade showed up? I'm trying to think, when did Decade show up in O's?
Yeah, I mean Fours, sorry.
You know what's funny about Fours is, like, I hated Fours' design, and I hated, like, everything about him. And then I watched the show, and it's one of my favorites, like, ever.
If
I love that show so much.
If you go past the high school thing, if you take
the high school thing is what I love.
Right, no, I agree. Yeah. If you take the high school thing as its motif, because it's like, okay, so you had Wizard being this guy who was like, he knew what he was, and he kind of worked at this antique shop. And Oz was this, like, drifter guy who just happened upon all this stuff. You take Fours as a legitimate, like, high school science club that happened to find all this crap that does all this.
Yeah.
Yes, it is amazing series.
And you know what I love about Gintaro as a hero so much is that we get so many apathetic Kamen Riders that's like, oh, I'm reluctant, I don't really want to be a hero, but now I have this belt, so I have to do it. That's kind of how Oz was, and Wizard was kind of like that. He was really lazy, laid-back guy. Even Drive, he's like, he was all depressed because his friend got hurt. Not killed, because I thought his friend was killed, but he was just hurt.
So did I, yeah.
Yeah, and so he doesn't want to do anything. But Gintaro was gung-ho, like, yep, I'm going to wear this belt, I'm going to kick ass, and I'm going to be your friend.
No, I agree with that. Like, I think there was only one time where he questioned it, and it was just to get another power like it usually is, so.
Yep.
But no, I very much enjoy the series. If you're a fan of Power Rangers at all, check it out for sure. You can find multiple websites to download it for free. It's not illegal, because as long as they don't show it over here, it's okay.
And it's only legal if you get caught.
Well, that too, but it actually is. Like, Kamen Rider does not have any, like, TV rights over here or anything like that, so we're okay to watch it.
Yep.
Now, if, like, for some reason they decide to make a series about it, then it will probably be kind of an issue. So, like they did with Dragonite. So.
Did you like Dragonite?
I watched a little bit of it, but the problem was is I watched it after I watched Kamen Rider, so I had high expectations and was very disappointed.
I watched it at the same time, because I think that's what made me start watching it, was because Dragonite was on. I wanted to watch real Kamen Riders. Even though I had already, like, seen, like, music videos online, and I knew what Kamen Rider was, I just didn't watch it just because I didn't feel like going through the effort of trying to find it. But since Dragonite was on TV every week, and I just needed my fix of fucking tokusatsu, that's when I started watching it. But I like Dragonite. Dragonite was fun. We used to watch it at work all the time.
Yeah, I mean, I tried to watch it, and it's one of those things that's just like, Ryuki was a decent series. Like, I've seen kind of like a compilation of it.
Yeah.
And it looked like a very decent series, and just to see what it was turned into, it's like, it could have been slightly better, but for what it was good.
It had Tim Allen's brother from Home Improvement as the bad guy.
It did. Yeah. And then it had the guy from Iron Chef as a Kamen Rider. So that was great.
Yeah.
The master, or what did they call him? Like the master, whatever, on Iron Chef.
Oh,
the guy who yells.
was that the old man, the Advent Master, the guy, the leader of the Kamen Riders?
Yeah.
I didn't know he was on Iron Chef. I never watched that show.
Yeah, he's on Iron Chef America. He's like the main guy who gives the secret ingredients and all that stuff.
That's awesome. All we wanted to see what his special attack was, and he never did it. That's all we wanted to get from that guy. I was like, this guy looks like a Kamen Rider. He has to have the best kick, and he never kicked anybody.
No, he never did. So, but no, I very much enjoyed it. Made a lot of ringtones out of it. That's one of my favorite things to do.
Oh, yeah, definitely. My ringtone was Final Vent for text messages for like a year.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Very nice. I like whenever, you know, like with Gaim, they had multiple sounds. So it's like, great. I can literally set my phone up to hear a sound and go, okay, I don't want to hear that person. I don't want to talk to them. Oh, I want to talk to that person. It's cool. I'll put a good one on them.
Yeah.
So it was fun.
I don't have any ringtones anymore. I think my text message ringtone was supposed to be call mode from GoBusters. But I just leave my phone on silent now because I'm sick of it.
Hey, nothing wrong with that, so.
Though my real phone ringing is the Fi's phone to ringer.
I think I had that for a minute, but now I have the Go Kaiser cellular ringtone.
Okay.
And then my overall text tone is the communicator noise because I have a smartwatch.
Awesome.
So it goes off and people are like, what was that? I go, it's my smartwatch.
Now, since I am Mr. Samsung, which watch do you have?
I actually have a Chinese import watch that I paid $30 for.
I thought you would have like a sexy Gear 2 or something.
Yeah, I'm broke as a joke, so I can't afford good things, and it was literally $30, and I'm like, sweet, cool, I can have a smartwatch, and it's Bluetooth, it's very basic, it's like an old Kyocera.
Yeah, but you have like birthdays and loved ones, so I just assume that something would have happened with that combination.
No, I think my thought process on that is that I got the cheap one to see if I liked the concept.
Okay.
It's okay, but the problem is that the watch itself doesn't do enough for me to warrant not pulling my phone out. So once the carriers and the companies start coming out with more versions of smartwatches, because now it's going to get bigger. Now that Apple's in their whole like, oh, we're going to do a smartwatch, everyone's going to start doing more of them.
Theirs is going to fucking suck.
Yeah. Well, I'm not an Apple person. I'm not going to knock on them because they like their brand. I like Android, and I'm not going to sit here and preach Android to people, but my thing is that I haven't found one that warrants me spending the money that will be like, hey, I don't have to pull my phone out other than to play games and to like check a couple apps and that's it. Like my watch can do everything from calls to texting people back to, you know, taking pictures and all this other stuff, even though I don't take pictures.
Okay, cool.
So I don't know. But yeah,
So let's talk about some wrestling. You like wrestling?
All right. Yeah, I like wrestling.
So we talked about you as a wrestling fan, your journey. So what have you thought of the product lately? Because the listening public knows of me and Nigger Jim's opinion. What is your opinion of the wrestling, the state of the wrestling world?
I feel like right now WWE has gotten too complacent with what they are. I think that they are kind of shooting themselves in the foot because if you have the WWE Network...
Do you have the WWE Network?
I do have the WWE Network.
Do you pay for it?
I do pay for it, yes.
Okay. I think I'm the only one of my friends that pays for it and everyone else uses mine.
Nope, I actually have prevented people from doing that because I want it to succeed. Because it's a brilliant concept and it's made it to where I don't have to stream shitty pay-per-views anymore. Like on, you know, sites that I won't mention because I like that they're up for other things. But it's nice to watch it in HD. It very rarely like glitches out on me or anything like that. So I'm very happy for that. The original content is decent. I really want them to come out with more because I feel like they have so much content that they could do that.
Not so much original content, but archive content. I wish that they would put it up more frequently.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what I mean is like they were doing the top 10 show.
Yeah.
And it's like you could do a top 10 of like the top 10 wrestlers of the 90s, you know, top 10 wrestlers of the 80s, and you just have a whole clip show. That's all that was. they stopped doing them, and now it's like a rarity they'll put one up.
Another thing they stopped doing was every night around like midnight, 1 a.m., they'll play a new episode of Raw. They stopped doing that like a couple months ago, like in the summer. Like,
oh, wow. I didn't
so they
know
stopped
that.
At like summer of 95. So we were getting really close to Brian Pillman's awesomeness and the gun angle with Steve Austin. I was really looking forward to seeing that.
Yeah, you know they're not going
to
show that.
They have to show. They're going to show everything. If they show Benoit matches, they can show Pillman with the gun that they wanted to air.
That is true, I guess.
Yeah, so.
But, no, and then, but yeah, so one of the things I feel like they're shooting themselves in the foot with is that the Monday Night Wars thing that they're that they've been releasing is literally the documentary of why the WWE sucks now. Because every time you're seeing stuff that WWE did better than WCW, it's because there was competition.
Right.
And it's because they wanted to be better, because they wanted to win. Now that WWE has literally nobody to fight, they're just like, oh, we can do whatever we want. John Cena can be 15-time world champion. You know, we can make half of the divas just skip around the ring, and that'll be it. You know, it's stuff like, I remember, one of the things that I'm so proud of remembering is the Trish Stratus Lita Women's Championship main event on Raw.
I didn't see that. Like, I hear about it, but I never saw it.
It's an amazing match. I want to, it's on the network somewhere probably. But it is one of the like most surreal things because it's. Like,
I don't think it is because I don't think they put any Raws. That was like around 2006, I think.
That's too late.
Yeah, they don't have any Raws from that era.
But yeah, it's one of the best matches I've seen as far as Divas matches goes, and it's so fantastic to know that they got the main event spot for that.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, who would have thought that would happen? So.
The Raw I want to see on the network is the one where Kevin Federline beat John Cena.
I never want to see that again.
I just want to remind myself that it happened, just so I can remember why I'm so mad at this company sometimes.
Yeah, it is rather annoying that they do stupid stuff like that. And it's like, you know, last night, Grumpy Cat. We don't need an animal hosting a television show. Like, that doesn't happen. Animals are, you know, stupid.
It was so weird. I don't know. That was, when we talk about Raw, we'll talk about that, but it was bizarre.
Yeah, very much.
It was creepy.
But,
and it wasn't even, like, funny. It wasn't, like, infuriating. It was really just there.
Well, and it's one of those things, like, how much more time filler do we need? You have such a massive roster that you have to have things like this that are eating up, you know, 20, 30 minutes of a show after all of the segments they do.
And I can't get a Bray Wyatt match.
Right. You get a Bray Wyatt, Dean Ambrose segment, and we can't get, you know, one of the hottest people wrestling for your company right now. Everybody wants to see. But no, he's in a promo after promo after promo.
Yep.
Congratulations. You're messing it up. And I don't even get me started on the whole holographic thing that upset me so bad.
What? That was awesome.
Okay, so here's why I didn't like it. I understand that they wanted to attach Bray Wyatt to the rocket ship that was Dean Ambrose.
Right.
Because obviously Dean Ambrose was the hot commodity going into that match.
Of course.
Here's the issue. That's now chilled.
They did it so wrong. Like, right. They both could have came out of it really hot. And they just didn't. I don't know how they could have done it right, but anything would have been better than what they actually did do, which was nothing.
Well, the issue is that going out of Hell in a Cell, all we had was the John Cena team versus the Seth Rollins team.
Right.
So it's like, if you knew that's where you were going, the match should have been lights going out, doing the hologram thing, them getting attacked, but then. Either Randy Orton or John Cena coming out trying to make the save but not being able to, because then that creates an underlying story of them trying to save Dean Ambrose.
You know, John Cena doesn't help people. Come on.
But he's supposed to never give up and never surrender from Galaxy Quest. So
awesome.
But yeah, so overall, I think that they need a big competitor. I know they never will get one, and that's the issue.
I think they need a new way of looking at things.
Well, and one of the things I keep reading about is that Triple H, and I can believe this, Triple H runs NXT.
Right.
And it's amazing. Like, anytime, if you've got the network, watch NXT. It's one of the best hours of wrestling WWE puts out. Vince won't let Triple H run Raw. And I feel like that's why we get segments like the bunny humping Adam Rose.
Yeah, that was dumb also.
Because, like, nobody enjoyed that except JBL. And it's one of those things that's like, it didn't do anything for either character. You literally, you know, you're going to have to make parents talk to their children about what happened.
All right. You're like getting the audience all rock hard, wanting to know what happened on Raw. So we're just going to dive into it balls first. So the show opened with the Authority coming out, and we got a long, long Triple H talking promo that we've seen since 1999. About how Team Authority is going to win and Team Cena is going to be in big trouble because they're going to be all out of a job, blah, 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 inmates running the asylum. Stephanie said some words. Luke Harper claimed to be a team player. And then they called out Ryback. And they said that Ryback should stay away from Team Cena if he knows it's good for him. And Ryback says he's on Team Ryback. And they play a bunch of old videos of John Cena berating Ryback to reassure him that he shouldn't be on John Cena's Fruit Loop troop. So
it's Fruity Pebbles, but okay.
Whatever, yeah. They also announced that Luke Harper will face Dolph Ziggler in a match later on. Or next, rather. So yeah, what'd you think of that opening segment? Riveting television, right?
Exactly. Like, it was one of those things of, like, I'm glad Triple H decided to spend the first 15 minutes of Raw talking again, like he does every week.
Yeah.
You know, if they had a match to start Raw, I'd be surprised.
I don't know the last time we had a match to start Raw.
I'd have to go back some months, probably.
Yeah.
I'm very rare. I'm very intrigued by the Luke Harper, you know, getting shoved into the Authority.
It was random and out of place.
Very much, especially after the vignettes that aired, because it's one of those things, like, wasn't the whole point of you being with Bray Wyatt to be against the machine and, you know, because you're odd and crazy?
The more weird thing is that they would play the eye vignettes, and it wasn't until the night that Dolph Ziggler was attacked that they actually say that the eye vignettes things were stalking Dolph Ziggler. Like, we hadn't got that impression at all. I think they had only been airing a week or two by that point.
Agreed, yeah.
Yeah. It was weird.
But no, I'm very much Ryback's hot. You know, he's doing great. I'm glad he's back. I'm glad that they decided to literally push him right to main event status, but, like, you know, ahead of the game instead of building him up again.
Yeah, definitely, because I'm not the biggest Ryback fan. He has a few cool spots, and he knows how to get over, and we need top guys desperately. So if there's a new top guy, I'm okay with it. Just because we've had John Cena up there for so long. That it's just cool to see somebody else. And I thought they totally, like, raped his character by beating him all the time and putting him in a shitty tag team. And, like, how long had it been since we had seen, like, Ryback's finisher?
No, I agree.
We went, like, a year without seeing it. So I kind of forgot what it looked like.
I was going to say, the second he got into Team Right Axel, it was over. It was like, anytime they delegate somebody to a tag team and that tag team, they're not related, you're instantly going to be just, okay, you're fodder tag team. You're going to get beaten. You're going to make other people look good. So,
totes my goats. So up next, we had Dolph Ziggler versus Luke Harper. Before the match, Jamie Noble and Joey Mercury start attacking Dolph Ziggler. Then Rollins comes in and hits him with the briefcase. And then they announce that it's for the Intercontinental title. So Ziggler demands the bell be rung, and he's up for a fight because he's a fighting champion. Luke Harper beat the shit out of him. He hit the big boot, then his tiger driver, and Ziggler kicked out of all that. They fought for a little while. Discus clothesline. 1, 2, 3. New IC champion. What do you think of our new Intercontinental champ?
Very interesting, just because, once again, you know, we bring Luke Harper back into the fold. You know, we shove him right up into basically what I like to call the top championship on the show right now, because the WWE championship is kind of, you know, up in Minnesota somewhere, probably frozen in a block of ice.
Yeah.
So
in a barn.
In a barn somewhere, yeah, next to Sable. But yeah, it's one of those things. It's like, I have no clue where you're going. And the other thing now is that now that Luke Harper has won the Intercontinental Championship, all of the titles are now held by heels.
I'm okay with that.
I'm not. I mean, there has to be a balance. There has to be some, you know, we can't have all title chasers.
Yeah.
Because then it looks really weird, especially leading up to your Royal Rumble pay-per-view and everything else, because, you know, people that are going for those belts aren't going to be seriously considered for other things.
Now, I'm from the South, so I always like the Southern mentality of championships where it's all about the chase and the journey more than the champion defending his title. I mean, the babyface champion, who is he going to face next? Who's his next challenger? The Hulk Hogan booking philosophy, or Bruno Sammartino, to go all the way back. But always like the young babyface trying to overcome the heel, and who's going to be the one guy that's going to take out Ric Flair.
Well, yeah, and I like that too, and I don't mind there being more buildup. I guess I just miss the belt being a presence on the show, because yeah, it is the main prize. It is one of those, like, to me, it doesn't need to be defended at every pay-per-view, but it needs to show up. It needs to be represented, and it's definitely missing. You can tell that it not being there, it's not impacting the pay-per-view so much.
They should still do something. Like, Paul Heyman should show up every now and then. They should do, like, one video of Brock Lesnar working out and shit and punching bags and choking out geeks, so that it just looks like Brock Lesnar's just staying in shape while he's getting ready for his next challenge, whoever's ready to fight him.
No, and I agree with that. Yeah. I mean, if they're going the UFC-type route, yeah, do that. And the other thing they can do, and it's very easy, is just give Paul Heyman the WWE Championship belt. Have him show up on the show with it, because technically he's the manager of the champion, so he can hold it.
Right.
And that way you have the visual representation of, hey, your champion is still around. Because my problem is that having Brock Lesnar be the champion has now created this, like, extra level of who's going to beat him.
Right.
And the problem I have is that if it's not going to be a sudden thing, like if it's not going to be, you know, somebody at the Royal Rumble or some random pay-per-view, it's going to be at WrestleMania.
Right.
So whatever up it is, we kind of watch that, because it's like, okay, so Brock has held the title for half a year. Nothing has really come out of it. He's done his own thing. Roman Reigns or whoever comes back at the Royal Rumble wins it and goes to WrestleMania, it's kind of going to be obvious who's going to win now. That's the only thing I worry about.
Right.
So.
Now, the one thing I have to say before we move on, because we are on a super off-road, but
yeah, sorry.
Brock Lesnar as champion, I like the idea of it more than I like the execution of it, just because I have slept through every single Brock Lesnar match since he's been back. Like, I have fallen. I was at WrestleMania nodding off during the Undertaker match because it's just boring. You can only see so many German suplexes.
No, and it's one of those situations that's, I hate to say it this way, but I know he's a great athlete. He's not the best wrestler, because he doesn't know, he's not a good actor.
Right.
You know, acting is part of wrestling because it's physical comedy, or not physical comedy, but physical acting.
Yeah.
And Brock Lesnar is great at looking like a monster, and he's done that very well. But when you fight John Cena three times, it really isn't anything special.
The thing that's different from his first run and his current run is that he was about 50 pounds smaller, and he was also wrestling Kurt Angle and Eddie Guerrero.
Right, which were amazing matches.
Yeah, those matches were awesome.
And they definitely helped him along look really good.
Yeah.
So now you put him with John Cena, and as much as John Cena can make people look okay with the five moves of Doom, or six, I think he's got six now.
He does a neck breaker now.
You know, Brock and John Cena, I don't want to see that match again. I've seen it twice. It wasn't good the first or second time.
Or the third.
Or the third, yeah. Because he is the number one contender.
Yeah. Ugh. But he's getting fired, right?
Hopefully.
Yeah. So next up, we have The Miz and Mizdow backstage with the Grumpy Cat. They were talking about some shit about a movie. The cat did not look happy to be there, but I guess that's his whole deal, right?
Yeah, that's his MO. He's like
I couldn't tell if it was a real cat or if it was a puppet, because it looked like someone was holding the cat.
Well, yeah, I'm assuming the cat wanted to run away from Miz because, you know, everyone kind of wants to run away from the Miz.
Yeah.
But it was just, like I said, it's one of those situations that's like, how can we have an animal talk to humans? That doesn't happen. Nobody's Dr. Doolittle.
It didn't talk. And I heard that the cat is in a movie.
Well, yeah, in the movie, the cat talks.
And it's voiced by Aubrey Plaza. And I love Aubrey Plaza. So I was just hoping that we get Aubrey Plaza on Raw, and that didn't happen.
I would have very much enjoyed that more than Grumpy Cat, for sure.
Yeah. So. Tyson Kidd versus Adam Rose. Yeah. Dreaded aforementioned bunny hump match we were talking about.
Yeah. Love Tyson Kidd recently.
Tyson Kidd is awesome. He's always been awesome, though.
He has been. I've met him.
Yeah?
Great guy. Yeah, I met him in a subway.
Like in an underground train or in a Subway Eat Fresh?
Subway Eat Fresh.
Yeah, what did he order?
I actually don't remember. So I was walking out of Walmart.
Yeah.
And I was walking by and he walked by me. And it was back when he had his, I'm going to shave my entire head except for this little foof of hair in the front. And he walked by me and my brain went, why do I know that person? Like, I've seen that haircut somewhere. And I turned around and I saw Harry Davy Boy Smith, because this was back when the Hart Dynasty was together.
Right.
Him and Natalya were standing in Subway, and I just was like, oh my God, it's Natalya and Davy Boy. I went in there and I'm just like, hi, I'm a big fan. And they're like, oh my God. So Harry Davy Boy Smith and Tyson Kidd were just like, okay, whatever, you're a fan. Natalya was the sweetest woman I have ever met in my entire life, minus my mother. And she walked right up to my mate Todd and was like, hey, hi, I'm Natalya. And he's like, no idea who this woman is. We get into the car, I'm freaking out, he's laughing. I'm like, you realize you just met Bret Hart's niece, right? And he knew who Bret Hart was, and he's just like, oh my God, really? And I'm like, yes, you did. Congratulations.
That's awesome.
She shook his hand. She was the nicest woman. Yeah, I have a picture of myself. I did the hover arms because I was like, I don't really want to be creepy. But the hover arms are creepy anyways. But yeah, so I am definitely loving Tyson Kidd. I'm glad that he's on the up and up swing. So
the only famous person I've ever met in the wild was Brad Garrett when he came in my Radio Shack. But he was the voice of Hulk Hogan, so I guess that counts, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So we had Tyson Kidd and Adam Rose having a whatever match because Adam Rose sucks. They had Kidd had Rose in a sharpshooter, and the bunny was waving at Natalya and hopping and stuff. And Adam Rose tapped out. So I don't know what's going on with that. The bunny and Natalya having a thing going on or something. I have no idea. This bunny is retarded. So Adam Rose is pissed and he tries to clothesline the bunny, but he ducks the clothesline and humps him from behind. He hits her from the back, if you will. And Adam Rose freaks out. The bunny runs up to the top of the ramp and does air humping. Like three times he does this. Like they cut away, they cut back, and he does it again. And they cut away, and they cut back, and he starts to do it again, then they cut to, like, a video game commercial.
I have no clue who was in that suit, but I hope that they knew what they were doing.
Yep. That seems very much like a Vince McMahon comedy idea. That's, like, his thing. He likes bestiality.
I feel bad because Adam Rose was so, like, promising in NXT.
He wasn't. I hated him in FCW when he was the champion.
Well, okay, so, like, what I mean is, like, Leo Kruger was all right. Then he disappeared, and he came back as Adam Rose. And that was the perfect character to leave in NXT for a while.
Yeah, he came up way too soon.
Right. Like, build that up, get the party thing right, get it all situated. And the problem was is that it got so big so quick, and they brought him up, and then it died.
I hated that they changed his music the second week because they had a woo.
Well, they changed it because they didn't have the rights to the first one, and it got so big and stuff that the band was like, yeah, so you guys have to pay us now.
Really?
Yeah, and the WWE was like, no, we have this band called CFO Dollar Sign that we'll just get to make us a copy of it.
Who is CFO Dollar Sign?
It's two or four white guys, and they make all the NXT music and a lot of the new music. I think Jim Johnson might have retired.
Yeah, like none of the songs sound like Jim Johnson songs, because we know what Jim Johnson song sounds like. But I'm guessing CFO Dollar Sign is responsible for the Bree Mode song.
Yes, they are.
Yeah, my favorite theme song.
Remode.
Yeah. I'm going to auto-tune that in post-production.
Good.
Bray Wyatt came to the ring to deliver a promo.
For the ninth week in a row.
Yeah, he talks about Dean Ambrose's parents. And he doesn't really say much of anything. I was washing my hair. And then Dean Ambrose appears on the Titantron and starts talking. He's like, yeah, long, rambling, meandering promo. And smoke and mirrors and magic. And he's like, I have a magic trick. This is a video recording that I recorded on my friend's cell phone. And I'm actually in the arena. And he comes out and they start fighting. And I was like, yay, actual physicality on a wrestling show. And then it ended. And I was sad.
Well, they want you to watch the free pay-per-view they're giving away, guy.
Yeah. Well, it's not free for me because I paid for the network for the month.
Yeah, I always laugh at that because at the beginning of the month, they tried to charge me for free.
Yeah, well, and my cycle is on the 27th. So I've already paid before they even announced that it was free.
Oh, great. Yeah. And then it's like, yep, you don't get your $10 back.
Nope.
So.
Fuck you, give us money.
Pretty much.
Michael Cole said Dolph Ziggler was taken to a nearby medical facility. Comments?
He knows how to hail a taxi, and we'll find out why later.
Yep. Next up, we had Ryback versus Cesaro. Now, Cesaro is my favorite wrestler.
Yeah, no, he's pretty good.
Hands down. He couldn't save this match. This match was too long for a Ryback match.
I very much give him credit for making Ryback look as good as he did.
Right.
I know Ryback has skills in him. He's just very nervous.
The thing was, they were doing the typical get the heat on the babyface, when that's not how you should work a Ryback match. It's like they were working a Cesaro match with Ryback instead of working a Ryback match with Cesaro.
Well, and Cesaro's just been on this weird kick lately anyways, where he's been losing matches and doing odd things, so.
Yeah, it's been pretty sad, because, again, my favorite wrestler. And his booking being so shitty kind of fucked themselves at the end of the show when we get to that. So we're going to move on. Ryback won. Spoilers.
who would have ever guessed that?
Yeah. John Cena's watching this match backstage. I guess this is the only match he watched because he didn't watch that Dolph Ziggler match because he just let him get jumped by four dudes.
Yeah, he's like, you know, I gotta go find my seven sweatbands I gotta put my arms in, so.
Did anybody see my hat?
I have 75 of them in this bag, but I have to find that one.
Yeah.
So
Rusev and Lana come out to the ring and they reference Kim Kardashian. Now, did you see this Kim Kardashian picture on the internet with her butt?
Yes, and I saw the multitude of parodies of it, and I thought all of the parodies were better.
Yeah, I didn't know about this until, like, that day, because I had to figure out what the fuck she was talking about.
Yeah.
And she asked if... She said she had a topless picture of her own and asked if the crowd wanted to see it, and... No one wanted to see it. It was like the most dead request for boobies ever. Like,
but they were in Virginia. I expected her to get shot. Like, you're in the heartland country of, like, We Bleed America and things like that. Like, sometimes the things they do scare me, yeah, just because of their protection.
Right.
So,
but it's weird. Like, usually, like, Lana's an attractive woman, so if she says, hey, I'm going to show you a titty, you would expect them to be like, oh, hey, what's up? Show me a titty. But nope, they were apathetic.
They're just like, meh.
Meh, if you show us a titty, we'll be all
right. It's like, I can get Pornhub on my phone right here.
I am looking at a titty on this app on my phone right now. I don't need to look at your titty. I can Photoshop your face onto this porn body. But yeah, so she's like, you want to see it? No one said anything. It's like, are you sure? Here you go. And up went a shirtless picture of Vladimir Putin riding a horse. And she laughed.
Yeah, I still don't understand all of the Vladimir Putin pictures because nobody, not many WWE fans care politically what's going on.
I think a lot of people found out who Vladimir Putin is from watching wrestling.
I knew about him beforehand.
Oh, yeah, of course I did. I've known about him for years. I didn't realize he was still president of freaking Russia. He's been president for like 20 years.
Yeah, he's been president for a bit, so.
But he Slater came to the ring dressed like Apollo Creed. And I don't think they realized he was from West Virginia, so he even stayed at bat, and I don't think they cared. He did the ding ding from the end of Rocky III, and then he got kicked in the face and camel clutched and made humble. 31 seconds, the match was over.
I missed a 3MB.
You missed a 3MB? I'm sorry.
I do.
I missed their theme song.
Excuse me.
I know it's hard for you. Don't die on me, though.
It's okay.
Because we had another Grumpy Cat segment.
Yay!
Yeah. So they're like, hey, Grumpy Cat, we got this stunt cat for you, which is a stuffed animal. Eric Rowan pops up. It's like, I want that pussy. Because that's his gimmick. He's looking for pussy. Because he's stalking Renee and Natalia. And he's on a pussy hunt. So he takes the stuffed cat and leaves. And the cat falls asleep.
The cat's like, Raw is boring. I wonder what's on something else.
I wonder if Nitro's on now.
Yeah.
The cat wanted to watch Gotham, which was awesome this week.
I actually don't watch that show.
What?
Yeah, I know. I have a lot of television I watch, that's why.
Do you watch Flash and Arrow at least?
I watch Arrow.
But you don't watch Flash?
No, I'm waiting for it to finish the first season and then watch it.
Oh, sir, you are missing out.
I heard it's good, though.
It's so good. It's a perfect companion piece to Arrow. Because there's going to be like 3 crossovers this season. So you have to watch it.
That's true.
Yeah. So you're just not watching season 3 of Arrow at all?
No, I do a lot of Netflixing. Okay. Because like live TV kind of is one of those, like, whatever's on the DVR is what I watch.
Right.
And so I think we have a couple conflicting shows for Arrow, so I just wait and watch them.
Yeah, everything comes on Wednesday night anyway. Like, you got Arrow, Flash, American Horror Story, South Park, Law and Order.
And I think I watch Hell's Kitchen.
Okay.
So that's Wednesdays. So.
And Main Event, that's Wednesdays, right? Impact.
Yeah. Yeah, TNA Impact's last Wednesday this week.
Yeah, I'm not going to watch it. I'm working. Sorry, Impact. I'll probably turn it on at work. Just say goodbye one last time.
Well, apparently they're close to inking a deal, so I'll be excited for that.
Do you know what channel it might be on?
I read an article that said it was going to be Discovery America.
Destination America.
Or Destination America, yeah.
Channel 201 on my cable, but I don't know if I get it because I don't turn on my TV very often.
Well, you'll have to find out then.
I'll just have to find out if I get it.
Yeah.
And
I think I get it, so.
I can go from not watching it on Spike to not watching on Destination America.
Yay. But here's my thing. The thing I'm excited about is the article I was reading, which sounds like you might have read it too, was talking about how it's going to be a flagship show and how it's going to get, like, more than just Impact doing that.
Mm.
So I feel like that's one of the things that I would appreciate, because I feel like only having 2 hours for as many people as they have on the roster is not helping. Because they try with taping all of their shows, they try to run through so many different storylines in the 3 like shows they tape,
mm-hmm.
that it gets so convoluted nobody can pay attention to it. So hopefully with having, like, you know, maybe a show on Tuesdays and maybe a show on Fridays because SmackDown's moving back to Thursdays, it might work better for him.
We'll see. I don't know.
Well, if they bring back Explosion where they did, like, the international stuff, that'll definitely get over because a lot of people enjoyed that show.
When Nigel McGuinness was GM?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Big Show and Stephanie McMahon in the ring. Big Show Stephanie talks about how she's been watching Monday Night War on the network and remembers when Big Show was Andre the Giant's son. And she says if Big Show leaves Team Cena, he will be a contender to go into the Hall of Fame. Blah. And then Sheamus comes out and they bicker for a while. She tells him his visa is in jeopardy and he can get deported if he stays on Team Cena. And makes them fight each other. And the winner will get an opportunity to get a shot at the title. And they wrestle the match I've seen a million times for the last 2 years. And nothing happens because Rusev and Mark Henry come out and beat the shit out of him, and John Cena does nothing.
I couldn't have said it better myself.
Yeah. I thought you'd jump in there at some point, but whatever. We'll keep going.
Sorry, I was going to say, like you said, it was seriously the same match. John Cena is still nowhere to be seen, even though he's talking about wanting to protect his team and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
I don't understand the whole number one contenders match thing.
They never said number one contender. They just said a future title opportunity.
Oh, they did? Okay.
Or they said an opportunity to compete for the world championship, which I thought meant a Royal Rumble entry really early.
Yeah, like I just didn't understand what was going on with that. Like I didn't think that needed to be
the added, verbiage was weird, so that's why I was eyebrow was raised.
But yeah, obviously a DQ finish just to further the storyline and then take out somebody. Obviously. So.
Yeah, because it's the main event of Raw was the contract signing, we have to have at least one DQ on this show.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's tradition. You can't go away from tradition.
I say the main event can't be a DQ, so. Yeah.
So we had Brie Bella versus Nikki Bella. Brie was dressed as AJ, and it was billed as an exhibition match. And Nikki won with the Titty Buster, or the Rack Attack, as it's called on TV, but on this show it's a Titty Buster. It just sounds better.
It does.
Yeah. And after the match, AJ beat up both of them.
Good for her looking strong before she leaves.
Yeah. Whatever. She hasn't done anything. All the women are lame and not booked properly on Monday Night Raw. It's not like NXT where the women have matches and storylines and fucking awesome angles and shit and great matches.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, CM Punk said it best when he was doing commentary back in 2010. Scott Stanford. He was talking to Scott Stanford and he goes, "Scott, I don't know if you know this, but all of the divas hate each other." Like, that is literally what it is, because none of them are friends. We can never have a stable. You know, we always have to have them fighting each other, and it's always the same matches.
Yep.
So, yeah.
We had a Big E, a New Day vignette. He was doing his Black Preacher voice. Now, I was thinking about this recently. So, Big E doing his Black Preacher voice when he started doing it a couple months ago. I went to church with my dad when I was in New Orleans for WrestleMania. Because if he's off on Sunday, we have to go to church. I'm okay with this. I'll go give a shout out to my nigga God from time to time. And I was watching the Black Preacher do his Black Preacher thing where he does his normal read in the Bible and talk about what's going on with the Lord and stuff like that. And then he'll start getting really into it, and it's like a crescendo where he goes into this really exaggerated voice with the piano playing in the background. I thought, no wrestler has ever done that, and that would be a really cool thing for a wrestler to do. I was wrong. Big E Langston tried doing this, and it doesn't work because you have to get people behind you before you break into the Black Preacher voice. You can't just start off in the Black Preacher voice and think it's going to like get those reactions that the church gives. So I don't know if you've ever been to a black church before, but it's kind of like that.
The best I've got is movies.
Okay.
So, I mean, if they're pretty accurate to the movies and the vignettes that they've been showing, then I feel like he should have just talked normally. And then once they debuted and got a little bit of, like, motion, then broke into that voice. Because, like you said, now that he's done that voice, he has nowhere else to go from there.
Right.
So.
Another thing, me and Big Nigger Jim were talking off air. I think it would be awesome that if they have all these happy, shiny promos of them coming, the new day, and they're all doing their stereotypical black man gimmicks where they dance and shuck and jive and eat chicken and watermelon, but they debut and they're like total badass and they just start beating the shit out of people. How awesome would that be?
No, I agree with that. Like, you were saying that, and I'm just sitting there going, like, I wonder if that's where you were going.
Yeah.
And I think that would be brilliant.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
It would be. Like, they just, like, I would remind, it remind me of, like, Reverend Devon, because he was very much of, like, yes, I'm all good, except for when I want to get what I want, and then I have Pastor Batista do something for me, or whatever.
Deacon Batista.
Really Deacon Batista, sorry.
No, not even like a religious thing. I just wanted to just be a total flip of what like they're presenting in the vignettes to what you actually get. Just to be completely opposite. Like, no colorful blue suits, no James Brown capes, no church music, no singing fat black women in a choir. None of that shit. Just fucking badass black dudes that can whoop ass.
Yeah, but you know, this is WWE we're talking about.
Yeah, they have, like, the worst perception of black people.
They do.
Yeah. I don't think they've ever met a black person.
No, they have. The problem is that they just have met, like, the stereotypical ones or the ones that are willing to do whatever they can just to be in, like, the main area of WWE.
Yeah, but their stereotype is James Brown. Like, James Brown has been dead for 10 years.
That's true.
Yeah. So it's like they're basing their image of what black people would think will get over on what got over in the 50s.
Well, at least to me, I'm excited to see all of them on my TV screen.
Yeah.
I mean, because all of them do deserve to be on Raw.
I've seen a lot of Kofi, so I can take or leave them.
Kofi needs to be the veteran person now. And I think that he's now going to start going into that role with this group. That's what I'm hoping.
Can you imagine Kofi as a dick heel? How cool that would be?
But yeah, I mean, think about it. Kofi's been wrestling for WWE for like, you know, 8 years now almost.
Since like 2006.
So it's a good time to just like let him do his own thing. Let him be heel if he wants to be.
Yeah, just something different. You can't turn Cena heel. You can turn one of your underneath guys that's been a babyface their entire run. It's not like Big Show where they turn him heel every other week.
And then it's just this weird, like, he dies and nobody can say anything because they are scared of him.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, he can kill me legitimately with his hand, so I don't want to call him pussy.
We're the same height, so he's a pussy.
You know, I'm good. He's probably got, like, 300 pounds.
Yeah. So, John Cena and Ryback had a conversation. Ryback says he doesn't take kindly to insults, and Cena said, hey, I said that shit to your face like a man. And he said, you're being selfish, and you have a chance, you always want to be fed more, and you have a chance to eat at the big table, and suddenly you're not hungry. Hooray for metaphors.
Whatever writer gave him that line kind of does deserve a little credit, because that was kind of good.
No, he deserves a fucking slap in the nutsack. Just being stupid.
At least he didn't walk up with like a Subway sandwich and hand it to him or something like that.
I just fed you more.
Exactly, see?
That's definitely something that they can actually do, so I'm not even going to throw that into the universe for it to happen.
They might have.
Did they?
Yeah, on a Raw like a year ago when Ryback was like getting pushed down. They had Subway as a sponsor, and yeah, him and Jared had a conversation.
Jesus Christ.
So,
8-man tag team, The Miz, Mizdow, Gold, and Stardust versus The Usos and The Matadores. I don't know what happened. Let's see. My notes are all Stardust won. Yeah.
Yay. So my thing is that apparently this is leading into a Fatal 4-Way for the tag team titles.
Yep. Who do you think is going to... you think Miz and Mizdow are going to win because they have the most momentum?
I think they should win.
Yeah.
Because as much as I love the Dust Brothers...
Yeah.
When they won the title, they went nowhere. Like, it literally was like, let's push them, let's push them. Okay, they won nothing.
That's kind of how they booked, though.
Yeah, and that's what's sad, because I'm a little worried that if they do give it to Sandow and Mizdow, or Mizdow and Miz, that's what's going to happen with them. Like, they aren't going to be featured as heavily, and they'll get pushed down to, oh, we'll put you on main event and stuff.
I just don't like looking at the Miz.
That's why you look at Mizdow. It's the perfect double.
Yeah.
I think he's doing amazing with what he was given. Yeah. So.
It's better than sitting in OVW for 10 years.
Exactly.
Yeah. Grumpy Cat was watching his match on a monitor that was in front of him. Like, I don't know how he was physically doing it, but he was. Or she was.
He was sitting there going like, hey, I'm like,
yep.
Why do I have interest in this at all?
I don't know.
There's literally there's a perfect video that I want to like put with this anytime I hear about Grumpy Cat watching wrestling.
And what is that?
It's like, okay, so. Oh, I'm looking for it. Sorry. as I said before, I am from Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
And
shout out to Drew Carey.
Exactly. There is a video online that's pretty popular. It's a Cleveland tourism video. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but it basically talks crap about Cleveland, but it's all true. Like,
I think I have seen it.
Yeah, it's like fun times in Cleveland again.
That's the one where it's like, it's not as bad as Detroit at the end.
Yeah, that's our motto is we're not Detroit.
Okay.
But he made another video called Stupid Fucking Cat. And it's just like, I'm a stupid fucking cat and I don't have responsibilities and stuff like that. And it's like, that's what I feel like when I watch Grumpy Cat watching TV. It's like, this cat doesn't comprehend that it's watching TV. It wants to go do something. It wants to go lick itself. It wants to poop in a box or something
like
that.
They were physically holding this cat down. This cat was restrained against its will.
Yeah, I feel like it probably has to be sedated a lot of the times.
And what pisses me off the most is this cat makes way more money than I do. What the fuck?
The fact that cat makes money is sad.
Yeah.
So, it is terrible. But yeah, if you want to, I linked it to you if you want to go ahead and listen to it or play it for our audience.
Let's see. I've never done this before, so I'm going to do this for the first time ever on this episode. I'm going to click a YouTube video and see how badly it fucks up my show.
Experimental time.
It's still loading. Video is unavailable. Oh, wait. Nope. Stupid fucking cat. It's loading up. Is that Ken Shamrock? Yeah. Hold on. It's going to play. You won't hear it. I'll hear it, and the people will hear
That's
it.
That's fine.
Holy shit, it's another fucking day. It's the best day ever again. Cause I'm a stupid fucking cat and I don't know shit. And I don't know what it is to be sad. I think I'll run around for no good reason and act like there's stuff I gotta do. I have no idea how much the world sucks cause I have no reference level. Holy hell, that guy's bringing me food. This food sucks, but I don't even know.
Well, it just stopped. All right, cool. We get the gist.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I feel like whenever Grumpy Cat's on, so.
So, John Cena comes out, and the authority is out, then John Cena comes out. He's like, oh, yeah, this could be the last day we see the authority. John Cena tells some stupid jokes. I'm not going to repeat anything he said. Are you okay? Are you choking?
I'm good.
All right, cool. John Cena does that to people.
He does.
Yeah. So, John Cena tells dumb comedy jokes about what's going to happen at Survivor Series with the authority and who's going to be beaten through a sexual chocolate reference out there. No one laughed. And so, it's time for the contract signing, and John Cena has no one by his side. And then Ziggler comes out holding his neck to emphasize that he's hurt. And then Big Show came out. And then music played, and no one knew what to do. Because it was Eric Rowan's music, and no one had heard it before. and Michael Cole lost his shit. He was so excited that Eric Rowan was added to Team John Cena. Like, this is what a big deal this is. It wasn't a big deal, I'm sorry. And so then the infamous siren played and Cesaro's music played and I was excited. I jumped up and did the Cesaro fist pump half naked in my living room. And the crowd was apathetic at best. They didn't boo, they didn't cheer, they just looked. And so Cesaro stood side by side with John Cena, laughed, and then wouldn't stood by the authority. Really. And then Ryback's music played. And we never saw Cesaro again. They all brawled, as you assume they would. And that was the end of our show. So what did you think of Raw this week?
Yay, it's a go-home Raw.
Yeah, and I wanted to go home after it was over.
Exactly. And you were already
home. And I was already home.
Yeah. No, I feel like I'm glad that they determined the teams because I didn't want it to be like this random participant at the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Although I feel like that could still happen. Like, I feel like one of Team Cena could get knocked out like Dolph Ziggler and magically someone else has to be put in. And it's like, okay, cool, whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you are...
I could see Eric Rowan getting taken out. I don't know if they wanted to do something else with someone. If someone was going to not be in the match, it would probably be Eric Rowan.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
Just because out of nowhere, he's chasing pussy. Now he's friends with John Cena.
See, and what I've taken out of it is that he wants to fight Luke Harper.
But why? Why does he want
to... Because in my crazy world, I came up with that Luke Harper, like I said, he went against Bray Wyatt's teaching, and Eric Rowan didn't. Like, Eric Rowan is, like, still fighting against the machine, and Luke Harper joined the machine to get wealth. Because, like, look, he joined them, and not even a day later, or not even an hour later, he's a champion.
Right.
So.
Hey, it's a better explanation than what they gave us.
Which is absolutely nothing.
Yeah, absolutely so. Nothing. They probably won't even say anything.
No.
Because it's not like they had any, like, teases of them having issues when they were partners. Nothing. Nothing.
And the thing I'm surprised about is Randy Orton is mysteriously absent.
Well, he's doing a movie.
Yeah, I know. But it's one of those things, like, they were pushing that whole him going against the authority, and then magically he disappears. That's not smart.
Well, he got curb stomped on the stairs, and I guess that's enough to make someone go away forever.
I was going to say, yeah, that is the go do a movie kind of move now. Because Dean Ambrose left and did a movie, and...
Yeah. Curb stomped into Hollywood, or Louisiana would.
Curb stomped into straight to DVD.
So. Yep. Now, you said you had a Drew Carey story.
Yes. The mall that they shot the Drew Carey show in.
They shot it in a mall?
Yes, they actually shot it in a shopping center. Like, in the later seasons, you know how they, like, Kate works at the perfume department store?
Right. Went for Lauder.
Yeah. That's not the name of the place, but yeah, that's the building. I was in there when they were shooting once.
Nice. Did you ever watch the episode?
Yes. I wasn't in the episode because they weren't filming at the time.
Oh, okay.
But it was one of those things that it scared me so much because, like, why are there so many people here? Like, there shouldn't be this many people here. And then all of a sudden I saw the tall one, Ryan Stiles. I saw him walk by and I was just like, okay.
That's awesome. That was my favorite show when I was a kid, and I've been watching it a lot lately.
Dude, that is a killer show. I wish I knew where I could find it.
The internet?
Well, yeah, I know, but I wish it was on Netflix or something like that.
Yeah, Netflix sucks sometimes.
Well, that's what sucks is, like, they had it at one time because I remember specifically watching it on Netflix, and then they just lose the rights to it so quick.
Yeah.
So.
But they have the first Ninja Turtle movie on, so you can watch that to your heart content.
That is true. I've been watching that 70s show, though.
Nice. So. I've watched that through and through so many times.
Yeah, I'm on season 3 and I'm already starting to jump episodes, so.
Yeah, just don't watch season 8. That's just bad.
Yeah, it got weird.
Now, before we got on the air, we're talking about Punk Goes. Before we go, we could talk about a little Punk Rocksky.
Sure, sure.
I feel really old.
Okay, even though you're probably younger than me, but go on.
I think we're only a couple years apart. How old are you?
28.
Yeah, we're, you're like 2 years older than me.
Okay, so why do you feel very old?
Because, one, I don't know any of these so-called punk bands. Well, I know a few of them, and none of them are punk. Maybe Knuckle Puck, but they're from Chicago, so.
I was going to say, they're modern punk, so I can't really say anything. And there's a couple of them that I enjoy.
Yeah, and I don't know any of these pop songs.
Some of them I know. That's just because of the radio.
Yeah. But, so, yeah,
did you look at the list?
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
Very cool, very cool.
Ain't It Fun by Paramore, done by Tyler Carter, featuring Luke Holland of The World Alive. No idea who they are.
I'm not a big fan of that song in general, so I probably won't listen to that one.
Wrecking Ball by Miley Cyrus, done by August Burns Red. I know August Burns Red.
Cool.
Okay. Taylor Swift, I Knew You Were Trouble, done by We Came As Romans.
That was actually the single for the CD, and I've listened to it. It's pretty good.
Okay.
Yeah, it makes me actually like that song almost as much as the Goat remixes do.
The what?
The Goat remixes of the Taylor Swift song. You've heard that, right?
No.
Oh, like the screaming goats they put in the Taylor Swift song.
I try to stay as far away from Taylor Swift songs as possible.
Well, and I understand that, but that was just like a general internet thing that happened.
See, I'm not that like, cool.
Oh, okay. Goat screams happened, and then instantly they were put into music videos, and Taylor Swift was like one of the bigger ones.
Okay.
So, moving on from Taylor Swift, so we don't talk about her too much.
Turn Down for What by DJ Snake and Lil Jon, done by Upon a Burning Body featuring Ice-T. I don't know who Upon a Burning Body is. Problem by Ariana Grande featuring Iggy Azalea. I don't know who either of them are. It's done by Set It Off. I don't know who they are. See, I'm such an old man because none of these bands are like Tyler bands.
Well, I think the point of the like punk goes pop is that it's supposed to be pop, punk artists that we aren't supposed to know.
Yeah, but the first punk goes pop had like Thrice on it.
Right. That okay, but that was the intro to the whole series. That was the like, okay, we got to get this off the ground, so we have to bring in the big artists.
Yeah.
Now it's almost like a launch pad for artists because you'll hear one of them and go, oh, I want to hear the rest of their stuff.
Yeah, but most of them are like metalcore bands, and there's not a lot of punk bands on here.
It's an evolution. Like one of my, what you would probably call metal punk, is Chunk No Chunk, and they're not even on the album. They were on the last two.
Chunk No Captain Chunk.
Oh, yeah, that's what it was. Sorry. My bad.
It's cool. I forgive you.
Thanks.
They're friends of the program, so we got to give them a shout out.
Oh, for sure, for sure. Sorry about messing your name up. I promise. There's reasons. So.
I'm trying to go back in the Punk Go series and see like when's the last time there were people I knew. I know Yellow Carp. They suck. Yeah. Asking Alexandria. I've heard some of them.
Certain.
Yeah. The only Punk Goes album I bought was Punk Goes 80s, because there were a lot of bands I liked on there, and a lot of songs I liked. So I can listen to songs I like done by bands I like. Like, they had Emery doing Holding Out for a Hero, and that shit was fucking tits.
It was awesome.
And, like, Motion City Soundtrack doing R.E.M. So I can get behind that and inside of it. So it was awesome having you on the show. We have to do this again sometime. I get caught up on Drive, and we can watch a Drive movie together and talk about how that was.
For sure. Thank you very much for having me.
Anytime, bro. You have any shit you want to plug?
No, not really. Just enjoy yourself and be good to each other.
You got to plug your Twitter at least. Come on, bro.
I don't tweet that much, dude. Honestly, like, I'm a bad social media person. It sucks.
I don't either, but I still plug that shit.
Sure. It's Roxas Panda. I mean, if you want to follow me, go for it. Sometimes I complain about wrestling. Other times I talk about when I'm drunk.
And those are good drunk texts or tweets.
Most of the time, Twitters. Yeah.
Twats?
Most of the time.
Yeah.
I call them twats, yeah.
Yeah, drunk twats. So, rockandwrestlingpodcast.podomatic.com. If you have any questions or if you want to be on the show, shoot me an email, rockandwrestlingpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow me on the Twitter machine at Ninja Tyler Black. Of course, you can follow Jericho at Roxas Panda. All that shit will be posted in the description of the show, like every is every week. And if you're not reading the description of the show, you're not doing the show right, because you should be subscribed on iTunes, or you should be subscribed on Stitcher Radio, which is how I get all my podcasts, and you should do it also. And any other way you get your podcasts, I'm sure we're available through there, because I've done some digging and I found us on every form of podcast service. So if you listen to podcasts and you know how to get some, Rock Wrestling Podcast is what you should be listening to. And is there anything you want to say before we get out of here?
Nope, I'm very much excited about NXT's future. So.
Yeah, NXT is awesome. And if you're listening to this live on Wednesday, you can come down to Dice Dojo at 6 o'clock for board game night. I might be there. I might be at work. And then after that, karaoke night at the Glenwood after American Horror Story. Listen to me sing some songs. And where are you going to be on Wednesday night?
Working.
Working like a man.
Yeah, I'm working at the Mega Replay locally here. We'll be probably playing used games and DVDs to be selling it back. So.
And if you mention Rock and Wrestling Podcast at Mega Replay in Peoria, you will get a 1% discount.
You will get a high five, because I am not a manager yet. So.
All right, dude, it was awesome having you, and we'll see you next week on another edition of the Rock and Wrestling Podcast.
Let's go.